Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, September 16th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Las Vegas, Nevada. Looking at malicious email, sometimes it's really surprising that people apparently still fall for this kind of scam. In this case, it's a zip file again that includes once unzipped JavaScript. Not actually all that easy to run this and get infected. The victim has to go through quite a bit of hoops here to infect himself. The subjects are, again, your usual subjects that we have seen in malicious spam a lot, like an American Airlines e-tickets, IRS tax refunds, FedEx delivery notifications. Overall, nothing really that terribly new. The problem here, I find, is more that the fact that we still see this kind of malicious spam indicates that probably there are actually people still clicking and executing it. As Brad points out in his diary, a reasonably well-administered host should not be vulnerable to this, and spam filters are doing a pretty good job now in filtering out this kind of malicious message. And Mandiant is reporting that they found some Cisco routers that were compromised with a very specific custom firmware that implemented some back doors. Now, the initial compromise happened apparently just by exploiting weak passwords, but the attacker then maintained persistent access to the router by installing this custom firmware. Interesting how the backdoor was implemented. For example, in order to activate the backdoor, the attacker has to send a TCP SYN packet with a very specific difference in sequence and acknowledgement number. Usually, acknowledgement numbers in SYN packets are zero. There have been cases where there are sort of a random value, but in this case, the acknowledgement number would not be zero and would be a very specific offset from the sequence number. Also, there are some very specific TCP options that are being used and an urchin pointer of one, even though the urchin flag is not set. So these are certainly very specific and unusual properties for a packet. An analyst paying attention probably should notice that these packets are odd and different. The actual connection happens via HTTP, not HTTPS, so the traffic would not necessarily be encrypted. And researchers at the University of Illinois developed a smartwatch app that uses the smartwatch's motion sensors in order to reconstruct passwords that the user types while wearing the smartwatch. Now, we have seen attacks like this in the past where smartphones, for example, with their cameras and even motion sensors detecting vibrations and such, were used in similar ways. It's always somewhat questionable how universally applicable this is outside a lab environment, but certainly something to be aware of, that the sensors that we sort of attach to ourselves certainly do have the capability to detect motions like typing in a password. And researchers at the University of Texas found a pretty interesting way to bypass the Android lock screen. This works in version of Android, including 5.1.1. In order to trigger this lock screen bypass, one has to first enable the camera and then enter a very long password. What they're doing here is to create the long password, just type in 10 characters and then keep copying them, essentially doubling the length of the password each time. And after approximately 11 times, according to a demo video posted, the lock screen will crash and give the attacker full access to the phone. An updated build of version 5.1.1 was published last week, which fixes this particular issue. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.